Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a beat poet. Name. Name your price. A tool, an idea, an inspiration. To do more than just say what you want to pay. Oh, no. But to see the options that could fit your budget. Steve, enough bongos.
Find car insurance that fits your budget at progressive.com.
Makes me want to dance. Steve!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blog Talk Radio.
It has been said that those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. The kings of Israel and Judah. Old Testament Israel was unified and ruled by one human for only 120 years of its history. From 1050 to 930 BC, King Saul from the tribe of Benjamin, David from the tribe of Judah, and Solomon each ruled for 40 years. After Solomon's death, the unified kingdom was divided into two distinct entities, different royal lineages. The Most High himself told Solomon that the nation would split into two separate pieces because he caused the people to worship many pagan gods. What made them, and what did ultimately break them? You see, we are a royal people with a royal pedigree. And as we begin to awaken from the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments while under grace, we must remember our forefathers and their sins, all while making relevant the lessons of their leadership, the good and the bad. So join me, Elder V, on Blueprint for Life this Shabbat as we look at the kings of Israel and Judah. You see, this is our legacy, our history of our sojourn. You will be inspired and you will be moved as you learn about your forefathers, the kings of Israel and Judah.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. This is your brother, Elder V, and this is our midweek lesson. But it's my prayer that you are surviving and you are doing well in the midweek, and that you realize that the Most High is favoring you because you are awakening from your sleep. The alarm clock has already gone off, and you are starting to live again. As the question was asked, can these bones live again? All praises to the Most High. This is our study that I've been committed to, the Kings of Judah and Israel. We did move it to Wednesday, and it's taken everything in me not to comment on so many things that are going on around us. And there's always a whole lot going on, but I want to follow this through. We got quite a few kings. We're still in the study of the Southern Kingdom right now. We did cover the first three kings, Saul and David, Solomon. And after Solomon, we know there was a split in the kingdom with the Northern and Southern. And right now we're covering those kings. And I want to commit to that on Wednesdays in our study because it is very important for us to understand our past so that we don't repeat it. Find out a lot about these kings being very idolatrous and starting off well and ending bad. And we still see a lot of that today. So hopefully we learn about consistency. As a matter of fact, we're under these curses due to the sins of our forefathers who couldn't keep these commandments and didn't want to keep these commandments, wanted to be like these Gentile nations. So this lesson on Wednesdays has its relevance. However, it is deeply upon me to reenact the seriousness of what we do on Thursdays, which is Straight No Chaser, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network, which is how we started, which is not just based on blog talk, but it's something we do in the community as far as trying to help our people, strengthen our people, and awaken our people. Although we're under these curses, we can solidify the fronts, strengthen the structure that we exist in, and teach our people the truth and awaken them and bless them, feed them, clothe them, educate them, prepare them for the return of our brother, our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. All praises to Heyah, Ashar Heyah, the Most High. All praises be to our Elohim. And that's something that's near and dear to my heart when I started, because I not only want to be in the shadows, I don't stand behind a laptop, but I get out into the streets. But when I'm not in the streets, it's important for us to strengthen our people and tell them the truth and awaken them and have the testicular fortitude to be able to stand. Listen, if you have been a part of any of these broadcasts, anybody else's broadcasts, YouTube, Blog Talk, any of these camps, they've already got your email. They know who you are. You're a part of that dossier. Fact of the matter is that you better get real about this, because some of us are going to make it into the wilderness alive and some of us are going to have to die for this truth. And either way, hopefully you have enough love for the Most High in your heart by keeping these commandments to say, either way it goes, I'm down for this truth, for the Most High, and for the kingdom to come. As a matter of fact, let me say what I always say. Welcome to the end of the Gentile rule. They're panicking. It's taken everything in me not to say something, but I will comment on this. You know, you got this brother from GLCC out here debating these Edomites that have been structured and trained by Satan in the art of debate, but not in the art of scriptures, that make reference to commentaries written by Edomites and Esau. You have to remember, they stole our records. And even when they excavated our records out of the Qumran caves, they called in the FBI to cordon off the area until they got all the information they needed and can do with it what they wanted before they released it to the populace, tainted. But all praises to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Wawruach, that gives us the understanding and helps us to read and understand the parables that our Messiah spoke in, because he already knew what they were going to do. So there's no need for us to be sitting up here trying to get into fruitless debates with Edomites to prove to anybody, because the Most High gives the increase. And at the same time, idolatry, covetousness, false prophets will be exposed. That's Christians and you so-called Hebrew Israelites that are misrepresented will be exposed in this hour. You better be about our Father's business and about these commandments, because that's what it's all about in the Shabbat. Okay, he told us to avoid these foolish contention stripes and these vain debates. He told us to avoid that because they already know why. They are skilled in the art to refute what we already know and believe in, because they already knew we would wake up at such a time as this. And so they're trying to send out what they call their best. Why would you even waste your time in it? People full of cynicism, sarcastic semantics, playing verbal rhetoric games with you and using Bibles such as the NIV, where 100,000 verses have been taken out. Why would we waste our time with that type of foolishness when we've been given an edict and a command from the Most High to wake up our brothers and sisters, show love, and bring our community together? Which is why my heart is so filled again with the seriousness of straightening chaser and the consciousness and being conscientious to our people and letting them see what's being done, what we can do to refute it. And of course, on the Shabbat, we focus all of our attention on strictly the law, as they did in Acts 13, 14, and 15, went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, which is the seventh day, not Sunday, sun worship, paganism. I don't want to hear nothing about no Roman Bibles, Sinaiticus and all that stuff, and the bishops of this. I don't want to hear about none of that. You stick with the scriptures, and the scriptures tell us that on the seventh day, we came together to hear the reading of the laws and encourage each other. And that's what, even on this broadcast, that I strive to do on the Shabbat, Most High willing, is to deal strictly with the laws and then encourage us as individuals, as families, as a people, that our faith might be strong. Because our Messiah said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? Will it be here? And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Which is why Wednesdays, and when we do these precepts, it's very important. But I started on something, the kings of Judah and Israel, and I want to continue it because we must know our past. It was never the Most High's will for us to ordain a king to be over us, because he was more than enough. It broke the prophet Samuel's heart. And I'm often kind of moved to do a study on the prophets that were around during the time of the reign of the kings, because the prophets played a very integral part of what the kings were doing and what our nations, the direction they were to go in. They were the oracles. They spoke, the mouthpiece of the Most High. They corrected these kings, and these kings often just defied everything the Most High said and what these prophets told them and warned them about. So we see this, but as a side note, when we read about these kings, it's important for us to pay attention. So all praises to the Most High. I'm going to get into this reading. I just want to say shalom to those of you who are out there. I see you out there. The number, if you have called in, feel free to press 1 at any time. We'd love to talk to you, hear from you. Because tonight, like I said, I'm just going to do a reading on these kings. But I'm about to say, this brother likes to call me while I'm doing the broadcast. So I'm going to have to put him on Front Street. Brother Tony.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, Brother V, man. I'm sorry for calling you at that time. I always do that, man. Sorry about that.
Nah. Hey, you know, I'm giving you a hard time because, brother, I know you can take it. I know you're grown, Ock. But anyway, it's good to hear from you. Good to hear from the line. All praise to the Most High, brother. In the world.
All right, pretty good. I just relaxing and glad that you on tonight, man. About to get into this word on the Kings.
Yeah.
That's about it. How's everything with you, Ock?
You know, like I said, you know, I'm blessed. I'm trying to, you know, keep my focus on what this particular night is about. I want to follow through with these kings. We've got quite a few to go through, and I'm going to be consistent with this. But, you know, like I said, there's so much happening in our world, and I'm hoping we can get to it, most high willing. We'll straighten up Chaser tomorrow at about this same time, you know, with all the false flag attacks, the bombings, and, you know, what's happening in the Hebrew community and the confusion. I really want to start to address those things. I think it's important that we keep our people on point.
Yes, sir, and that Flint, Michigan water is still being poisoned, man. They still ain't doing nothing about it, man. So sad.
And it's amazing. So we're going to touch bases on that on tomorrow. You know, I found out they got machines. You and I talked about it, even at REI, that they can purchase for these people and give to these people. We send millions of dollars to other countries. And you can go get a simple little gadget to give these people to put in their homes and kind of deal with some of that water, because the pipes are bad, you know. Just to help them out, because they're selling like 12 ounces of water for $20 down there.
Yeah, that's a lot of greediness.
Great, great. Yeah. All right, brother, so I'm going to get into this reading. And say shalom to the brother down in Dallas.
I sure will. I hope he's listening right now.
Say shalom to him.
Hey, Brother Mike.
Joe.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. I'm just listening to you guys.
All right, brother. Well, you live on the radio. We just wanted to bring you on to say hello to you, man. Hope you having a blessed evening, brother.
Awesome. I am running this highway up here to Amarillo right now. Just listening to the station right now.
Shalom.
All right, folks.
Just brother Mike. Brother.
Tom?
Mike. I said, shalom. How you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Shalom. Back to you. I'm getting back signal up here because I'm starting to climb up this hill.
Oh, so they got you on the road this evening, huh?
Yeah, he's out there on that road.
All right.
He's driving out on that Texas road, too.
Man, I know how it is. You're out there on the plantation. You do what you got to do. Stay strong, bro. I'm praying with you.
Thank you.
Right. All right. All praises to the Most High, brothers and sisters. We're gonna get into this lesson and see what we can glean from this lesson of the kings of Judah and Israel. Now, I talked about this before. There are many books that the Nicene Council didn't want us to know about that they took out of the 1611 KJV. There's a Bible that the Ethiopians have that has actually 81 books. But there's actually a book of our sojourn called the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah and Israel that gets in depth about the people that led the nations of Israel and Judah. And listen, I'm not like these people in the Christian church that tell you don't read that stuff because you're going to lose your mind. Because some of you need to lose your mind because scripture said, let this mind be in you, which was also in HaMashiach, in Christ, Yeshua. Let this mind be in you. These books will expand your horizon when people are trying to box you in. Let me let you understand something about the word religion. The word religion means to bind, to bound you up. So if you got good religion, that means you got good tying. That means you bound up real good. You stuck in a system that was created to keep your mind enslaved. You have to understand that the Bible is only the compilation of a few scrolls of the sojourn of our people. And they're trying to lie about our history and steal it and use it for their own edification. the natural roots. And the branches are trying to boast against the roots, not understanding that they're only coming in to be servants unto us. We are the people of the book that was spoken of in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, that these curses are on as a sign forever. This is our history book because we are the only people without a country, without a land, without an army to fight for us, and no representation even in the United Nations, because the United Nations has become Psalms, the 83rd chapter. They have conspired against us to make us no more. And the ones that exist over there in Israel are Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9. They are of the synagogue of Satan. And that is no Star of David. David would wake up out the grave and slap the hell out of you talking about that's the Star of David. That is the Star of Remphan. That is a hexagram, which is satanic and used in the annals and halls of Freemasons. Prince Hall and Scottish Rite has nothing to do with us. Those fake Hebrews and Jews are a result of what is known as the Balfour Treaty, which came into existence in the early 1900s, but came into complete fruition in 1948 when they began to look for land, and they took the land of the Palestinians, but they took on our culture way before them when they came out of the Caucasus Mountains and began to learn Yiddish, form of a Russian language mixed with Hebrew, a Khazarian language, and created the Tetragrammaton and began to introduce the Talmud and Kabbalism and integrate it along with paganism. They don't even accept our HaMashiach. We are the people of the book, and this is our history book. And that's why we take the time to learn about our kings of Judah and Israel. Now that we are awake, we look at them in a different light to understand. And we can see ourselves because we are hard-headed, stiff-necked people. And we see ourselves in this book. As we read it, we begin to understand what transpired and how we got into this downfall. So let's go back in time and let's deal with the first one. We're going to deal with King Uzziah. Because we got a lot of people, a lot of kings, I should say, that a lot of people don't know about and they don't really often talk much about. But we're going to cover all of them in this series. So right now we're dealing with the southern kingdom, which became known as the Kingdom of Judah, while the northern kingdom became the Kingdom of Israel after the fall of Solomon, who began to worship many gods. Now, with King Uzziah, let's give a brief backdrop, because what we're going to do is we understand that King Uzziah served for 52 years. That was actually longer than Saul, Solomon, and David. King Uzziah was considered a good king from 767 to 740. And when you look at Uzziah, it means the Most High is mighty. That's what his name means, that the Most High is mighty. We're going to go to 1 Chronicles 26 chapter. Before we go there to read about that, we covered the extent of his reign, and we see that the Gospel of Matanyahu, which is Matthew, lists Uzziah of Judah in the genealogy of our HaMashiach. So he is mentioned there, and you listen to that song in the beginning. The reason I like to play that song, because it says, "Here am I, Elohim, send me." And that song that says, "Lord, send me," is based upon Isaiah, the 6th chapter and the 8th verse, because it says that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up," and that's when he received his call. So, without further ado, 2 Chronicles, the 26th chapter, the first verse. "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old." Let me pause with that. Let's not negate the importance of our young men. You see a young brother on the streets, we'll just walk by him. We got to start letting our people know that they are Israel and waking them up. We had kings serving at 16, 12, and 7 years old, we covered, that came into dominance. It's important that we begin to teach our young people. Second Chronicles 26 and 1 said that he was 16 years old, and they made him king in the room of his father, who was Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years. 52 years. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right. It tells you early that he did that which was right in the sight of Ahijah, according to all that his father Amaziah did. So he took note and followed the pattern that his father had already laid out, who was considered good in the sight of the Most High. Second Chronicles 26 and 5. And he sought the Most High in the days of Zechariah. Note how the fifth verse points out who was one of the key prophets during that era. But we do know that Isaiah came into prominence, and there were other prophets that came around. There were people like Hosea and other contemporaries that were around during his reign, during that time. We'll cover that a little bit later. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 26 and 6. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Verse 7. And the Most High helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal and the Mehunims. I think it's important how verse 7, the words are not changed. It lets you know that the Arabians were dealt with during that time. Verse 8, and the Ammonites, we know who they are. They gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt. For he strengthened himself exceedingly. So through these wars and conquering all these nations and them paying tribute to him and bowing down to him, he became very much strengthened. Understand that the Most High will use the gifts that he's put inside you and take you before great men and make your name great. But the purpose is for you to understand that you must give it back to him. And he only gives that to one who has humility of heart. And we're going to find out about that as we read. Verse 9. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. For he loved husbandry. Understand that the husbandry was dealing with the land, grooming the crops and taking care of the terrain. I don't want you to misunderstand what that means when they say husbandry. That deals with landscaping. That's what it pretty much covers. Verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. You need to understand, when you do a study of the mighty men of valor, these weren't your typical men. He had a large army, but there were mighty men of valor that stood out amongst the rest. And you could pretty much liken these men of valor to people like Samson or your superheroes that you go to the movies to watch today. These men were able to take out 10, 20, and 100 men barehanded by themselves, because the Most High had given these men, these mighty men of valor, incredible strength like Samson. Samson wasn't the only one that had that type of dominance to whoop thousands of men with the jawbone of an ass. There were other men like that, and they were mighty men of valor, and they were around Uzziah. So he was truly a blessed king to be equipped with this kind of army. Know that even in the last days, that when that spirit comes upon the Most High's people, when he returns, that this same thing is going to happen when we begin to go throughout the land, like it's spoken of in Joel, the third chapter, and we begin to destroy those that are hiding in the caves. These preppers that have all these steel caves that they're going to put underground with these rations. It's not going to work. If you've cursed the Most High and his people, you will be dealt with. 2 Chronicles 26 and 13. And under their hand, under the hand of the mighty men of valor, was an army. And the army was 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. There was nothing Uzziah was short of. This man was very prominent in war and dominating other nations and countries, and it pretty much almost rivaled some of the things that David had done and that Saul had done as far as his army was concerned and what he conquered. Verse 14, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the whole shield, spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem, listen to this, he made in Jerusalem engines. And the engines were invented by cunning men to be on the towers upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. You've seen this in what you thought was these fantasy movies that they create. These movies, I can't think of them, the gold ring and with precious and all this kind of stuff. And you've seen these wars. They are mimicking and trying to mock and extract from our text what our armies had created. And the Most High gave his men ingenuity to be able to create these weapons of war that can throw massive boulders and shoot tons of arrows at one time. And every good and perfect thing comes from above. So this ingenuity and this ability to create these machines and these engines came from the Most High to defeat these other armies. And he put this in the hands of Uzziah, who was the king of Judah, the predecessor of Amaziah, his father. So this intelligence was always upon us. I don't know if people ever tell you that. There's a lot of things and inventions that they don't let you know that the black man, the Hebrew Israelite, has created even in this world that we live in. That light bulb that's in your house, that stop sign outside your house on the streets, and microwaves and ovens and things like that, because the spirit of the Ruach HaKodesh rests on us to be able to put things together, because we were made in his image and there are things that we have understanding of. Let me finish reading 2 Chronicles 26 and 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Here we go. This is how it all starts, and I'm going to take a Selah moment. It was at the moment that Uzziah got too strong that his heart lifted him up to destruction. Pride goeth before a fall. People start paying you homage and bowing down at your knees too much. It has an adverse effect on you, and it even happens subconsciously, to the point where you shouldn't even allow anybody to worship and praise you and give you that much adulation like that. You need to kind of rebuke people, because the nature that's in us can easily get lifted up by those that start to see your accomplishments. One of my favorite scriptures at this present time that I tend to use a lot is what Apostle Paul said. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark to obtain my prize. He's saying that I'm not going to bask in a victory that I had today on the next day and still keep talking about it and saying, remember when, and remember when I did this and I was all that. And we will hold on to our accomplishments, glorify it, and idolize it forever, and not be able to move on to the next victory, battle, or conquering, because we think that was the end all. And that is a form of idolatry by staying right there. As a matter of fact, all the trophies that you might have stored on your mantelpiece and your medals and your pictures that you'd like to show people what you did, that is totally against what the Apostle Paul was saying. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget and I press. Right here with Uzziah, he began to get lifted up with pride because things were going pretty good with the army, people worshiping him, praising him. And his heart, it says right here in verse 16, but when he was strong, I mean, he was strong, fortified. The town was fortified. He was known throughout the lands, had it all going on. His heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against Ahayah, Shah Ahayah, the Most High. And here's what he did. He got so full of himself, he took something upon himself and got out of his lane and stepped out of the guidelines of what the Most High established. Biggest mistake. Cost him his life. Here we go. Listen. And he went into the temple of the Most High Elohim to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Who was supposed to burn the incense? You got great prophets throughout the land, and that was their job. It was so serious at the Most High at that time that the Levitical priesthood was set aside to do only certain things and to communicate with him and be the oracle. He did, because the Most High never spoke for them to have these kings, but he allowed it. So he stepped out of his kingship and going to put himself in the position of being a Levite and said, well, I'm going to go burn these incense. Same thing Saul did. And the moment Saul did it, he was cursed. He went on for years, but he had lost his kingship while the Most High was preparing David as a lad. Here we have Uzziah, who was, for the most part, a good king. Started off well, took it upon himself because he got too lifted up in pride and everything was going too good. You got to watch those people that's around you that's pumping you up and gassing you up. You got to watch the being around too many people that glorify you and lift you up. It's all good, but you can't believe the press. You got to walk away from the press. Everything was going so well, he's like, well, on to the next thing. Instead of remaining in his lane, he goes into the temple to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. They all came in there, and they withstood Uzziah, saying, like, they pretty much walked up to him, like, what you doing? The king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord. Like, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. What are you doing up in here? Handling our business, our job. This is not your responsibility. This is our responsibility. To the priests. But to the priests of the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to do this work, to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. They said, get out of here. Get out of here now. You messed up. You crossed the line. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. In verse 19, then Uzziah caught himself, because they rebuked him sharply. He caught himself. It says that Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, he was mad. While he was mad that they put him out. Verse 19 tells us, leprosy rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. He immediately was struck with leprosy by having the unmitigated gall and the nerve to get mad with the priest of the Most High that was only getting on him for stepping out of his position and trying to do their job. Most High checked him on the spot. Didn't even waste any time. Leprosy. It's not a skin disease as Esau and the Edomites of today. You know who I'm talking about. We tell y'all it's a skin disease. It's boils. It's a damn lie. Leprosy is when a dark-skinned man turns white as snow in his hair and his skin. If it's a skin disease, why are you able to spot leprosy in a person's hair follicles? you know, when your hair turns blonde, like these sisters like to wear these blonde wigs and blonde braids today, looking foolish, trying to look like an Edomite woman, walking around depicting leprosy on the runway and thinking that looks good. Leprosy is when things turn blonde, white as snow. Most High didn't even wait, struck him with leprosy. Let's see how this ended. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Verse 20. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also. He even ran, hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. He's like, oh, snap. He saw himself turning white. Verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off. In those days, understand the law of Moses told us that lepers were to be put out of the camp, were not allowed around the people, out of the camp. So imagine the so-called king became a leper and was put out of his kingship, out of the camp, from around his subjects. 21 says, from the house of the Lord, and Jotham, his son, was over the king's house. And he began to judge the people of the land. Now, the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. Well, we talk about Isaiah 6 and 8 when he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, because eventually it led to his death. A king that was doing so well, started off so well, things were going so well, he was like, I'm the man. Now I'm going to do what the Levites do because I'm untouchable. Wow, lesson to be learned, which is the importance of the lessons of the kings of Judah and Israel. Verse 23, so Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. Much to be learned from the mistakes of that particular king who started off well. But it seems to be a recurring theme that they start off well and end up bad because of being lifted up with pride, which is so akin to our people, these so-called elders over these camps. It's collecting all this money. But I said I wasn't going to go there tonight. Everybody wants to be the boss. And let me say this, I got a lot of people that's getting into this false humility saying, yeah, I'm not trying to lift myself up. Don't call me elder and all that stuff, none of that stuff. Well, let me get one thing straight. As long as the scripture said, if there be any sick amongst you, call for the elders that they may lay hands on you. As long as that scripture is there, and as long as he said, I will give you pastors after my own heart, there are people within the fivefold calling that the Most High has gifted to be put there. We shouldn't lift ourselves up, the person themselves, but we do need to have people in our community that are elders, that are of stature, seasoned, ordained, and anointed. I ain't talking about some young buck you just got married, or you probably not married, probably just had some kids, ain't been through nothing. I'm talking about seasoned men of tenure, stature, that's been in this truth and teaching for a while, that have been through the storm, have fought demons. And understand that we need them in our areas, wherever you are, not over in another country, lording over all these little camps in different states and telling them what to do via the telephone. That's against the Most High's word. We read once before in the Shabbat how in every region there should be an elder within like almost 100-mile radius of people that will baptize the people, lay hands on them, and anoint them that they can go to for wisdom. It is the elders that brought forth the judgment. And one thing I'm going to get back into with Social Change Action Network on Thursdays, Straight No Chaser, is that we as a people Hebrews, and some of y'all ain't woke, so you call yourself African-American, which is a big lie, because we're not to be named after Amerigo Vespucci or Leo Scipio Africanus, and we're not to be named after two landmasses, because that's not us. We're Hebrews. But we need to start governing our area and our communities and dealing with these youngsters and these young ladies and these people and start taking control of our people, because ain't nobody else going to do it. We need to start coming together. Do you know that these Moabites in Chinatown get together and pay into a pot and decide who will open up the next business, and they all support them, and they judge how they're doing and who's doing right and whose child is not doing right, which is why they put them in those schools, because they have a community where they back each other financially. I know you say we can't come together because we're under the curses, but those of you who are waking up, yeah, we can start to galvanize and come together. Because he said, I will bless them that bless Israel, and we have a responsibility to take care of each other. That was just a side note. Let me keep moving on with this lesson with the kings of Judah and Israel. As I said, that's where my attention is focused back at, with getting back to Straight No Chaser and dealing with our people and our community and being about us. Jotham took over for his dad. When we look at Jotham, he served for 16 years. And Jotham, his name is pretty much... Now, when you look at it in Hebrew, I'm going to tell you what it says. Yah is perfect, but we know we say Ahayah is perfect. So let me just say that the Most High is perfect is what Jotham meant. When you look in the Strong's Concordance, that's what it says. And it says that he's perfect. And he, for the most part, during his reign, he served well. Jotham served well. So let's take a look at Jotham's life in 2 Chronicles, the 27th chapter. And it doesn't really say a whole lot. So before I read that, let me see if I can give you some background based on some information I grabbed. Let's see. Jotham inherited a strong government, well-officered and administered, because his dad did a good job of shoring up the community. He is recorded as having built the upper gate of the Temple of Jerusalem. He built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. 2 Kings mentions that Jotham fought wars against Rezin, king of the Arameans, and Pekah, king of Israel. He also defeated the Ammonites, who paid him an immense annual tribute. But the increasing corruption of the northern kingdom began to permeate Judah. So what the northern kingdom was doing, which had a lot of corruption, began to seep into the southern kingdom of Benjamin, Judah, and Levi. Jotham was a contemporary with the prophets that his dad was under. Was Isaiah was around, Hosea, Amos, and Micah, by whose advice he benefited during his time. So we have... there's a lot of other information there, but what I'm going to do is read 2 Chronicles 27 so we can get into this brief history about Jotham. A lot of these kings don't have extensive history unless we get into the book, which I don't have in front of me, but I will bring out. There is a book that's not in our so-called Bible called The Chronicles of the Kings of Judah and Israel, and you can find that book online, right along with Enoch, Maccabees, Jasher, and Jubilees. Testament of Solomon, many, many, many other books. 2 Chronicles 27 and 1. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha. She was the daughter of Zadok, and there is much information I won't go into right now about the Zadok priesthood and how many of these priests that Zadok trained were a part of the Essenes, and many of them weren't even worthy to be priests, Zadok talked about. But that's another note within itself. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. I notice every time we do a chronology or a history of certain kings, if they were doing right, it's depicted and talked about early on in the chapter. It lets you know what type of reign we're getting ready to go into. Verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. He built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. He fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Most High. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all his wars, meaning there were many, and his ways are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he began his reign. And Jotham did, after that long period of time, sleep with his fathers. So all we have is a brief encounter of his success. But all praises to the Most High that this was one of the kings that did not go astray into idolatry and worshiping other gods and bringing them into the temple. So there is scattered information about Jotham and his short 16-year span. It's a lot of archaeological findings that support his rulership that came about in the 1990s. And that's pretty much all I'm going to say about Jotham. I want to move on before we get ready to close out this particular lesson. And the last one is King Ahaz. And you probably heard about King Ahaz. King Ahaz, we find that his name pretty much means has held. The Most High has held, meaning I guess he held him at one time. Ahaz was 20 when he became king of Judah, and he reigned for 16 years. The Gospel of Matthew even lists Ahaz of Judah in the genealogy section. He's also mentioned in Isaiah 14 and 28, according to the King James. Ahaz reigned commenced at the age of 20 in the 17th year of the reign of Pekah of Israel. And it's described in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, 2 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, Isaiah 7 and 9. But we're going to take a look at 2 Kings 16. Well, let's go to 2 Chronicles 28. We'll take a look at that. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. Let's you know in the first verse that he did not do right. The second verse, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. That means he followed the pattern of the kings of the northern kingdom that was steeped in a lot of idolatry, as we found out with Ahab and Jezebel and a few of the other kings we talked about that all followed the pattern. They got caught up into a lot of worship, sacrificing to Moloch. 2 Chronicles 28 and 2, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images of Balaam, which is Baal. He was making gods of Satan, of Hashatan. Well, he started off from. We go back in time and we find kings that came in establishing the commandments, the laws, the ordinances, and they were blessed for that. He came in right away making little demons and planting them all over the temple. It says it right here in the second verse. And then the third verse says, moreover, and says, like, and also on top of that, that's what moreover means. He burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burnt his children in the fire after the abominations, which is detestable to the Most High, of the heathens, the Gentiles, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He wanted to copy the people that the Most High put out away from us and began to sacrifice his own kids to Moloch. This is a kingdom I would have ran away from immediately as soon as he became king. It seems like every other one or every two, there'd be one that just come out just representing Shaitan. We had one king that came in and made sure he killed all his brothers and everybody else so he wouldn't have anybody to come in after him. Well, you got this one come in making little demon statues and burning up his children. And let me tell you what they did with this Moloch. When they sacrificed these gods to Moloch, there was a statue of like an owl, and it was hot, pressed with fire on the inside, and the hands were sticking out. They would put that child on these scorching hot hands and let it roll from the hands and arms into the fire. Imagine what these babies were feeling when they were being scoured to death, and they did this to appease other gods. Here he is, a king over the Most High's people, and he wants to serve the God of the people who could not even deliver his people. 2 Chronicles 28:4. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. He's going crazy. He's burning incense everywhere he can think to burn incense, trying to be a Levite and calling upon all kind of strange gods. This man was a lunatic. Verse 5. Wherefore, the Lord his God delivered him quickly into the hand of the king of Syria. And they smote him, a great multitude of them, captives, and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. We're getting ready to, for those of you online, if you're not called in, you're not going to be able to finish the show. You have to listen to the archives. I'm going to finish this reading, and then we will be done. So if you hurry up and call in, you can hear the remainder. Verse 6. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men. Even these men of valor couldn't stand, because the Most High had turned them over into the hands of the enemy, because they had forsaken the Most High Ahayah of their fathers. And Zikri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Messiah, the king's son, and Azrakim, the governor of the house, and Elkanah, that was next to be king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded, and he went out before the host that came to Samaria and said unto them, Behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up to heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondmen and bondwomen unto you? But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? Verse 11. Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again, which ye have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. So we have the Most High that allowed Ahaz to be destroyed, killed, and these people taken captive. But the prophet said, now you've gone too far. Your rage has gone too far. Let his people go. He's always gracious towards the people, but it was the king that he wanted destroyed who began to worship other gods. Verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 28. Then certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Barashai the son of Meshulamith, and Jehezekiah and the son of Shalom, and Amasa the son of Hadlai, stood up against them that came from the war, and said unto them, Ye shall not bring in the captives hither, for whereas we have offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass. For our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel, the northern kingdom, for what they did to the southern kingdom. So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes, the ones to inherit what was left, and all the congregation. Verse 15, and the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives, and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. At that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him. For again the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives because of Ahaz that kept being attacked. But the people kept delivering the people who didn't bring these attacks on. This judgment was against Ahaz. Verse 18, the Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country and of the south of Judah, and had taken Beth Shemesh and Ajalon and Gadaroth and Shocho with the villages thereof, and Timnah with the villages thereof, Gimzel also and the villages thereof, and they dwelt there. For the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and of the princes, and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he didn't help him. Verse 22. And in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Most High. This is that King Ahaz, for he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him, sacrificed unto gods that were destroying him and killing him. He's going to go to them to give them a sacrifice instead of bowing down to the Most High. And he went on to say, they may help me, but they were the ruin of him and all of Israel, these so-called gods of Damascus. Verse 24, and Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, of the Most High, and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of Ahijah, and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem, and in every several city of Judah. He made high places to burn incense. Here he goes, burning more incense unto other gods, and provoked to anger the Most High of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and all of his ways, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem. But they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel. And Hezekiah his son reigned in his stead, kept turning to other gods, after he knew that what he had done brought the wrath of the Most High upon his land and his people. But yet the Most High extended mercy upon the people, but not Ahaz. The Most High just forsaked him, and he lost his kingship. And when he finally died, they just didn't give him any of the credit that he deserved. It's an amazing thing to see how some people of prominence can really lose their focus. Brothers and sisters, I can't stress to you enough that even though these lessons are about these kings, that we glean from them and know that the little mistakes that we make that we know we have grace for, understand that your grace can run out, and that we should not abuse the grace and mercy that has been extended to us by our HaMashiach's death, that allows us to not be under the burden of our transgressions, because that grace can run out. There were times that, the angels are mad because we have grace and mercy, the fallen angels, that is. Satan is mad because the Most High loves us so much. But there was a time when these men that were trying to lord over our people, immediately they would try to set up a precedence to worship fallen angels and other gods. And the Most High had to deal with them immediately. And we as being so-called leaders of our community or even of our families, we must be steadfast and strong and not mislead, misguide our loved ones and our people in this walk. So we have to be encouraged and encourage each other. Even when you're weak, know how to reach out to your brother and let him know, look, I'm going through some things. I need your prayers. I need you to stand with me. And sisters, you need to stay in your place as this world, Babylon, throughout, tries to get you to come up out of your place and take a role that is not your role. We must stand strong, and we must keep the faith, and we must stand these scriptures. We must stand prayer. We must remain faithful, and we must look up to the hills from which cometh our help. For our help cometh from our Elohim, who is the Most High, Ahayah, Ashar, Ahayah, the great I Am. All praises to him, all hallelujahs to him, and we glorify him. So until next time, the Most High willing, tomorrow we'll do straight no chasing. But be encouraged. The only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already had it. The truth is a journey, not a destination. Kwam Yasha'Allah. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
This is truth music, the truth movement. Movement. Yo, we've been a part of the biggest conspiracy this planet has ever known, man. You ever wonder why everybody seems to hate us? Everywhere we go, seems like everybody hate us. The world is against us. We gon' bring y'all some light, you know what I mean? Check it out.
It's been a long time, but we waking up so many. Lies been told, we waking up so many. Locked up so many, shot down. You can't keep Judah from his crown. Try to hold us, try to break us. Take our names away, but couldn't shake us. Now praise to the Most High with all your might. What a feeling, y'all. We live for life. Lie to us, Christians lie to us. Read the Bible, the history is tied to us. Nobody cried for us, Messiah died for us. Ask the saints, all of them cry for us. At last, the truth has finally come out. We the people of the Bible. This is no doubt, can these bones live? I am living proof and baffled. Why my people hate the truth? False religions, false idols, false titles. This is truth music, not elementary recitals. Feel this, y'all. Get close to the speaker. The world stresses me when I'm feeling weaker. Let it sink down deep, deep into your mental. Truth gets so hot it overheats. Instrumentals, we from the big cities, plus the big lights. What a feeling, y'all. We the Israelites.
Long time, but we waking up so many. Lies been told, we waking up so many. Locked up so many, shot down. You can't keep from his crown, try to hold us, try to break us, take our names away, but couldn't take us. Now praise to the Most High with all your might. What a feeling, y'all. We live for life.
Close your eyes. Picture 400 years of slavery. The same people had a lifetime full of bravery. Hung in trees just like the Savior. Had to pick up the pen and put the truth down on paper. And if you don't believe me, check out the script. Deuteronomy 28 and 68, that's a tip on who was brung to the U.S. on slave ships. Learn real history, not just BS. Heretics, governments, politicians making satanic decisions. Walt Disney turning kids into magicians. But now, truth is coming out in these last days. Put the strong drink down and throw away your haze. Plagues, don't worry.